it's time to go out and...
From a nightclub at the end of the world. Yeah. Hi, everybody. It is Sunday, the 27th of January, 2013. And I was not kidding when I was speaking to Gary Null at the end of his show just now when I said that multiple major tipping points have been passed all over the world. But you've probably already been able to start gleaning some of that yourself because you guys who are with me here tonight are savvy enough and you're aware enough so that you're perceptive enough, and I'm sure you're picking some of this stuff up. First thing I thought about was a lot of it's the stuff tonight is so heavy or could be so heavy as to change our energy away from love and compassion for each other, if nothing else, those of us who have our heads out of our you-know-whats and are paying attention. But I think more than ever tonight, my choice of music was critical to this because we were going to need music that was supremely compassionate, supremely uniting, bonding, and healing in our recognition that we all share the human condition together. And it's a very special artist, and I'm going to tease you with this for a while, but I think you're going to love it when you hear the first song. But we have good music to walk us through this tonight, so I just want to plant that in your mind. So this is not going to be all drudge. We will make some lemonade out of the lemons. Okay, I have to make some announcements also. Next week, February 3rd, I will be 62 years old. And as things are shaping up, that's also going to be a very important day. We are just finishing, Doug Lewis, I, and everybody who's involved, Chris Vigard, an album here based with the simple, very limited array of equipment, musicians, instruments, and so forth that we have. But it's an amazing album, and our tentative title for it is called The Inner Reach. And our name, our band name, we're not going to worry about a new one. We are New White Trash. That's what we were. That's what we are. That's what we reconstituted as here. Now, of course, in the world's going on out there, we have no idea what a new album means at this point. And nobody should take that seriously. But next week on my birthday, thanks to my music partner, Doug Lewis, we are going to play what I believe is going to be the title song from the album, which is called Inner Reach. You know, it's not going to be, I can't tell you when the CD is going to be out because we ain't got no money. We're all broke. Things are getting really tough. And I can't tell you anything else, but we are going to play it for you next week, and it will enter our consciousness next week, and I am so happy to be able to share that song with you on my birthday. It's a kind of a link between the prophecies or what was said at the dawning of the age of Aquarius, so 50 years ago. 50 plus years ago, and now, or 45 years ago, whatever. And it's a comparison, and it acknowledges the struggles that we all have to deal with the world around us and try to find and maintain the right inner place to negotiate and navigate it all. And so I'm going to be happy to share that with you next week. But as I said, things are exceedingly tough. The repo guy showed up to take my 2008 RAV4 yesterday. Fortunately, I was out. I put $15,000 down, and I've made 56 consecutive monthly payments out of 60 with a balance of like $4,000, and I haven't made a payment in a while. And I've just found out that's the super high priority to repo because they don't have to give me my equity back. So we're playing a little game out here trying to keep this going so that I can sell guns and two of my guns or do whatever I have to do, because we're all just doing right now what we have to do. And there is the juxtaposition between that, living in the world, and finding the right emotional, energetic spaces in our heart. And that's why the music is so important tonight. So if the car goes, it's 24 miles to the nearest store. So I may be away from the show for a while. I hope that is not the case. I've been with you now for 30 months, and I've showed up, and I vowed to walk this walk with you guys as long as I could. But, you know, as we're going to see tonight, hey, that's... that time may be over. I mean, you know, I'm sure you've heard about the glitter news out. Nightclub fire kills 233 people in Santa Maria, Brazil, overcrowded nightclub. Or as you're enjoying your iPad tonight, or perhaps listening to us on your iPad, maybe that's why I'm censored on iTunes. The Guardian from January 25th said that child labor has been uncovered in Apple's supply chain. So enjoy that. There have been three earthquakes today at the South Pole. Volcanism is increasing all over the world. That all sounds nice, but to sum up how bad things are right now, and it's got to be hitting you in the face, and if it doesn't, I can pretty much guarantee you, all of you who have chosen to listen to my voice tonight, that you will be paying attention after I read this letter. This is a letter that I sent out today to, I have maybe eight very close friends, advisors, spiritual family who are First Peoples. They are Indians. And we share spiritual outlook, and they have been so good to me for so long. And this is a letter I sent out to them today. This is from my heart and from my gut, and I'm going to read it to you, and maybe this will put us in perspective for where we are, so I can set you up for this really amazing music that is going to, I believe, tie us all much closer together. But this is what I sent out today. I'm not going to censor it. What the heck? You know what my beliefs are. I'm writing both to give you updates and ask for guidance and prayers. Things have crossed a tipping point. In Beijing last week, they did not see the sun for more than 4 days due to pollution. It is impossible to breathe there. People are dying. A toxic cloud of smog is hanging over Salt Lake City, and scientists have asked the governor to reduce the speed limit immediately and shut down industry to save lives. That was an AP story this week, picked up by NPR. Big story. It is nearly impossible to breathe there also. In Greece, the 40% tax on heating oil is so high that every tree in the country is being chopped down in a race for firewood. The Greek skies are black with smoke. People cannot breathe there. From North Korea, the Sunday Times of London is reporting that people are eating babies and human corpses due to starvation. In Brazil, the president, Dilma Rousseff, has decided to flood 400,000 hectares, that's about a million acres, I believe, of the Amazon by building the third largest dam in the world, thus wiping out all of the lands of the Kayapo people. I have posted on my Facebook page a picture of the Kayapo chief, Raoni, as he was given the news, and his face was showing more anguish and pain than I have ever witnessed on one human face, except perhaps my own, because I've seen it my whole life, as he received the news. I still can't look at this picture again. It's on my Facebook page. The United States and China are about to go to war over Japan and Australia. All economies are entering a death spin. So I said to my indigenous spiritual friends, I said, I am a scout. I said, I call them brothers, sisters, aunties, and uncles. They are teachers. And Dungashila, my teachers on the other side, are all paying very close attention right now. I kind of feel them. So what I wrote was, I am a scout. And boy, that's the way I've lived my life. I'm a scout. I have delivered good reports my whole life. They have helped many. And I am reporting that all things have reached the tipping point. Within days or weeks, these things and many more will begin to sink into many Wasichu minds, and things will be much more crazy. Wasichu is a Lakota Sioux word for white man. On Thursday, my friend, the Cherokee medicine man, Cody Golden Elk, was instructed by Spirit to say a prayer for my protection while he was performing a healing on another. That was at about 2:30 p.m. He prayed for the warriors of light to surround me and shield me. I was sitting on the back porch at 2:30, the same time, praying, when I looked up and I saw many warriors riding into the valley, the San Luis Valley here in central Colorado, south central. They were Oglala, Lakota, Dakota, Cheyenne, and Arapaho. They were all in war paint. Their ponies were beautifully decorated with many feathers and painted also. The air was of great celebration. They started gathering in the wide spaces around our house on the valley floor. It was springtime. There were many war cries and shouts of celebration. Yesterday, I was led to call Cody, and then I drove to Buena Vista, and it was close, reasonably close by, like 60 miles, and meet him for pizza. While I was away, a repossession man showed up to take my car here at the house. I had put $15,000 down and made, you know, all these consecutive payments before stopping last fall when I lost everything and gave everything away. I only owe about $4,000, but I have nothing because I've been waiting for this. There's a project in Los Angeles which has still not been born, which kind of materialized 3 days after I arrived here in the San Luis Valley. I had no knowledge of it, and it was supposed to have. It's just not happening. So that's a big, hole in my life. So I'm going to sell my guns on Tuesday, if they haven't taken the car, because it's 24 miles to closest store. But what I said to all of my indigenous friends, I said, I'm reporting that I am not moved to do much in the outer world now. I just do not want to engage in it at all, but I must. I checked with my heart last night, and I found it to be in a completely different place than my head. And this is true, my friends. My heart was happy, like the Braves riding around and yelling. I have no way of knowing where I will be in a few weeks, and I share this with all of you in PRN tonight, let alone this summer. I have been reading a lot of lame deer and black elk. If you know anything about American Indian history, those names will mean something. I keep hearing lame deer's prayer, have pity on me that my people may live. What a great prayer. Many are asking me now about what to do, and this is a very hard question, and I feel pity for all who share it. The energies around me are powerful, and I space out. As soon as possible, I will do ceremony with Cody Goldman Elk to find my power animals to help ground me. And that's what I think we all should do, learn how to ground. In the meantime, I call out to my friends, the fox, the hummingbird, the woodpecker, and the hawk. I'm a scout. The birds help me a lot. Spirit has something for me to do. I do not know what. But I do know that things must happen very quickly now. The pain of seeing Chief Raoni's face as he learned of the Wasichu decision regarding his people's lands in the Amazon is more than I can think about. And you've got to see this picture. Go to my Facebook page, Michael C. Rupert, not the public figure one. I spoke today to the shaman travels with Bear who brought me my name, Tracker of Truth. He was confused. He understands that I have a voice and that people are looking to me for answers. He could not find a message to give on my radio show tonight. If the star people are going to appear, they need to do so soon. This is my report. It is a good day to die. Mitakye yas. I slotted this story in here in my script for tonight, my notes, from the Independence in Britain. Sunday, January 27th, North Korean cannibalism fears amid claims starving people eat children and corpses. Reports come as sanctions against the country are tightened against the backdrop of angry rhetoric over missile testing. And this was also from the Times of London. So you couple that with the fact, and I have to give extreme credit to my colleagues in the peak oil movement, not only Rich Heinberg, Colin Campbell, and the late Matt Simmons, but also to Julian Darley from the Post-Carbon Institute, who I remember saying in 2002 or 2003, people don't understand what's going to happen when 7 billion people start trying to burn wood for fire, especially if climate change continues to get worse. And my friends, that evidence is in your face. The Salt Lake City story was, let me just scroll down to that. This was an AP story. We're at... The pollution has turned so bad that more than 100 Utah doctors called Wednesday on authorities to immediately lower highway speed limits, curb industrial activity, and make mass transit free for the wet rest of the winter. Doctors say the microscopic soot, a shower of combustion particles from tailpipe and other emissions, can tax the lungs of even healthy people. We're in a public health emergency. This is Salt Lake City, and it's still there. 2 million. But what I'm seeing is this is happening all over the United States, and we just picked up Daily Mail picked up the story, and they used other sourcing. I mean, it was very serious in Salt Lake City. The NPR gave us the story on the Greeks burning firewood, and then I just clipped tonight a story from Der Spiegel that said the same thing is happening in Germany. People can't find food. They're chopping down trees left and right. So this is a pretty good setup now, because there's a lot more heavy stuff to talk about, and we need to try to find a way together to walk a line where we are not overcome or overwhelmed by fear, but we are alert and aware. We have to have feet on the ground and head in the clouds, and this is a hard art. And any spiritual teacher, and I'll tell you from the 21 years I did in AA, but all the guys I knew who were sponsors, it is so amazing to watch what people go through to acquire a spiritual consciousness. There's no accident that they say in the Bible, among other places, and 10,000 shall fall on thy left and 1,000 on thy right, but few there be that enter. The gates of many are called. Spiritual truth. It's not an easy path to walk. And so, you know, as I've been studying and aware of and believing in and conscious of an ascension, a shift in energy on this planet, there is enormous difficulty in walking in, say, a pure fifth dimensional consciousness where, if you were at that place, and I believe that place and those dimensions exist, you could think and create a universe, but it's not that easy here. Now, for my whole life, you know, I've been following music for a while. There is one songwriter, singer, performer who more than anybody else, I believe, carries and shows and reveals the utmost love and compassion for humanity, and does so with humor, but he does so in a way you can listen to one of this guy's songs and it'll, like anybody in the world, probably even Jamie Dimon could listen to a song by this guy and recognize their own humanity. Enormous power. So let me tell you how I met him. When I was living in Sebastopol, oh my God, that seems like so many lifetimes ago, in the land of milk and honey, one day I was pushing my shopping cart in this land of abundance and beautiful weather down one of the narrow aisles, and comes walking the other way this person who I recognize as the most unique and amazing, and I think one of the most beloved songwriters of our time. He's walking in the other direction. And I recognized him before he recognized me, and because he had bought a case of my video, Truth and Lies of 9/11, way back in like 2002, 2003. And I knew he was a fan of mine, and I knew he was aware, but, you know, and he was kind of absorbed in himself, and he goes walking by the other way, and I kind of look at him, and I point, and I go, Tom? And he looks at me, and he blinks, and he says, are you... So it's like we both looked at each other here in this Whole Foods in the land of good and plenty in another time and another place. But it was one of those great God shots, I call them, of my life. And I had about a 5-minute conversation with the guy. And you could tell we were both appreciating each other. And that was a very joyous moment for me. And as he walked away, and this I'm setting up for the first song we're going to play by this guy, he turned back and looked over his shoulder, and he said, keep up the good work. And I looked back over my shoulder and smiled, and I said, you too. So let me introduce you to my friend Tom Waits, and here's a song called God is on Vacation. He loves us. He gets it.
Someone to pull you out of that ditch. You're out of luck. You're out of luck. Ship is sinking. My ship is sinking. The ship is sinking. There's a leak in the boiler room. The poor, the lame, the blind. Who are the ones that we kept in charge? Killers, thieves, and warriors. Cops away. Concentrate on business, business. Concentrate, concentrate, concentrate on business, business. Digging up the tent with the
are shuffling the pain. It's a job. Money moon rising with the plague and the front. Doing the mob. It's all over. And consolate in the boiler room. The poor, the lame, the blind. Killers, thieves, and lawyers. Got to pay on business. Got to pay on business. Such a big temptation to be good. To be good. There's always a cheddar in a mousetrap, baby. It's a deal. Got your way on business. Business. Got your way on business. Business. I narrow my eyes at the coin slot, baby. Let her ring. Got your way on business. Got your way on business. Business.
Don't you feel better after that? I know I sure do. I mean, I was laughing and smiling and getting the giggles, and that's what we need to do now. As crazy as it gets, and you haven't even heard all the crazy stuff I got for you tonight. I am convinced this is one of the things that my lifetime of experience has taught me. And you guys know I've traveled some hard miles. Is that you have to be able to just sit back and grin and make something stupid out of it. And we love Tom Waits for that, because he does that. And he does that because he loves us, and there's love in that music. And we're going to hear another song from Tom before the show is over. So I just got a note, and I should say that if you want to write to me, Rags, you know, for the birthday, whatever, if you want to help, yeah, I'll take it. I can use it. I need it. But don't harm yourselves now. Everything is so screwy. I'm trying to explain, like, this laissez-faire sense of detachment. I'm making the request, and I'm not... We'll see what the results bring, because, man, that old world just don't make sense anymore, but we let go. But the address to write to me in Rags here is 27378 Red Cloud Avenue in Moffett, M-O-F-F-A-T, Colorado, 81143. That's 27378 Red Cloud Avenue in Moffett, Colorado. 81143. So, you know, I'm going to be playing the Dodge the Repo guy for a few days here, and hopefully there's someone is stepping up who might be able to step in with the finance company just turned up. You know, we'll see how it plays out. It's like pass the popcorn. What can I say? But we share with each other now, and we had a nice birthday party for a neighbor here today, a Charlie Brown birthday party all over the place, and there's a lot of love being shared around here, and that's the stuff we need to do. Okay, back down to that other world, that other place. We have to live in both places. The biblical sayings are be in the world, but not of it. Or where the world is a loose garment. And that is certainly what a spiritual life teaches. But as you look at this stuff, and this is all coming to a conclusion tonight, actually, I'm going to make. I think I'm making some sense out of this, but don't hold me to it. We'll find out when the show's over. From the Independent this week on the 22nd of January. Now catch this. Now this is the height of don't say that. It's pretty insane. Indian police warn Kashmiris to prepare for nuclear war. It's from the Independent in Britain. Andrew Buncombe, he's a good reporter. I've read many stories by him. Pity the people of Kashmir. Days after a series of cross-border shootings left both Indian and Pakistani soldiers dead, police on the Indian side of the line of control have warned residents to prepare for nuclear war. in an advert, an ad placed in an English language newspaper, police warned people in Srinagar to build underground bunkers equipped with toilets, collect 2 weeks' worth of food and water, and ensure that they have a supply of candles, torches, and a radio. Quote, if the blast wave does not arrive within 5 seconds of the flash, you were far enough from ground zero, says the notice. Isn't that comforting? And do you believe that? I mean, we are talking bonkers. We are talking like around the bend lunacy all over the planet all at once. Well, we will get to the situation around the South China Sea, which is now starting to look very much like the U.S. and China fighting over Japan and Australia. Throwing that into the mix, I'll pick up with some of this after the break, but something was thrown into the puzzle. Last week, I reported that a Chinese colonel speaking for the general staff had given Australia an ultimatum to side with China and not be foolish enough to side with the U.S., which, of course, meshes perfectly with predictions I made back in 2004 and on at From the Wilderness, that geography would trump everything in the age of declining energy. And I said that it has to do with gravity. It has to do with very, very simple natural sciences. And I think that's inevitable. But now, this gets to some real insanity. I'm going to save this stuff about shale oil maybe until after the break. That's a good thing to do. So let's talk about, this story that I'm going to go to says Australian shale oil discovery could be larger than Canada's oil sands. Now, I'm going to dissect that after the break, because it just shows that everything that is being said now is not only a lie, it's absolutely crazy, beyond belief. And so on a great many levels, we are seeing that the gig is up, and the gig for industrial civilization is rapidly folding. A story from out of Britain yesterday, I love this. This was hilarious. Came out in, it was a Scottish paper, I believe, that the economic numbers in Britain are worse than the Great Depression. They are actually the worst since economic growth records were started to be kept 130 years ago. And the story said that the Bank of England was now calling this a triple-dip recession. That's like the eight economies the guy was talking about on the Gary Null show right before this. As long as people keep compartmentalizing and dividing everything, there is no hope. But now we have a whole new term in the lexicon, a triple-dip reflection. We call that a double W. I don't know, but it's like absolutely nuts, and that's happening all over the world. Cash is being yanked out of American banks all over the place because everybody's scrambling for the dollar right now. Everybody's getting beat for it, and we have to sit back and maybe make a Tom Waits song out of that, which is a very good place so that I can segue and keep the next segment intact. This is Michael Rupert, Tracker of Truth, on the Lifeboat Hour at PRN. FM, and we will be back with you right after these messages.
Sierra morning, and all we ever hoped for is the dawn. We have to keep on.
That was Diane Patterson giving us a little spiritual reminder of the advices around what you need to hear if you listen for it and pay attention. I hope she's doing well. I haven't heard much from her, but we're all sharing the same planet together, and events are happening. So, right before the break, now we're talking about not only all this rampant stupidity, but all this horrendous violence and the suffering. And thought came to mind, I don't think I said it in the first half of the show, But we've been documenting on my Facebook page, again, kudos to Robin Westenra from Down Under, from actually Kiwiland, who has been keeping us very regularly on a daily basis apprised of a massive increase in volcanism all over the planet. That's volcanoes coming to life rapidly. For those of you who don't remember or might not know, many extinctions on this planet, large-scale die-offs have been attributed to volcanic ash from Krakatoa, from Yellowstone, from other places. And there are increasing signs of volcanism all over the world. One went off in Ecuador today, but sometimes we had seven on the Kamchatka Peninsula recently, one day. Starting to smolder, and a piece appeared, I think, on my Facebook page. If not, it's on the World News Desk at CollapseNet. It was a good scientific piece saying that the melting of the glaciers has reduced the water weight on top of the landmass so much that it's not offsetting the upward pressure from the magma inside, and that makes very simple scientific sense. So now just consider, with the air pollution being what it is, everybody's racing to burn wood to stay warm, not only the damage to the trees, which give us back the oxygen and eat the carbon, but the pollution that's in the atmosphere, this vicious cycle, it gets stronger. Throw a few volcanoes in there, and you can see a lot of the industrialized world suffocating, especially those in the wrong places. And this was something that was foreseen a long time ago. But now, on top of that, as the issues in the Pacific get much, much thornier, and as safeties come off, if you will, and fingers move toward triggers, a story was put out by the Australian Broadcasting Corporation on January 24th. Australian shale oil discovery could be larger than Canada's oil sands. Link Energy claims to have found rock formations containing more than $20 trillion worth of oil. Now, again, we all know that there's been hype connected with this stuff before, but it does tell us, and we certainly have not seen, there's a quote from the story you're talking, Saudi Arabia numbers, it's massive, it's just huge. The company says up to 233 billion barrels of oil, it's not oil, are estimated to be trapped in the shale. Now, whether they're telling the truth or they're just insane, it's still absolutely insane. Now, I want to read to you about the shale oil from a really good book on energy. It's called Confronting Collapse by me. The crisis of energy and money in a post-peak oil world came out with the documentary Collapse in 2009, thanks to Chelsea Green, a great publishing house who I have not praised enough, but I will certainly do that right now. But this is from the book that I wrote, and it's just, this is what this shale oil is, okay? And this is from page 129 on my book. No one claims they can actually make gasoline from this source. It has never been done on a commercial, profitable basis. While CNN glibly tosses the fact that there are 2 trillion barrels of oil in shale, they neglect to mention that it is not oil at all, but another so-called oil equivalent known as kerogen. Here's the theoretical process to turn shale into oil. Now just listen to this. Think of a Tom Waits song about how stupid this is. Production of oil from oil shale has been attempted at various times for nearly 100 years. I'm quoting Walter Youngquist, Dr. Walter Youngquist, one of the amazing pioneers in the peak oil movement, and from the University of Oregon. He writes, production of oil from oil shale has been attempted at various times for nearly 100 years. So far, no venture has proved successful on a significantly large scale. Youngquist, 1998b, separate study. One problem is that there is no oil in oil shale. It is a material called kerogen. The shale has to be mined. Put your thinking caps on, guys. Mined, transported, and heated to about 4,500 degrees centigrade, 8,500 degrees Fahrenheit, and have hydrogen added to the product to make it flow. The shale pops like popcorn when heated, so the resulting volume of shale after the kerogen is taken out is larger than when it was first mined. This is going to get better. The waste disposal problem is large. Net energy recovery is low at best. It also takes several barrels of water to produce one barrel of oil. The largest shale oil deposits in the world are in the Colorado Plateau, where I am, a markedly water-poor region. So far, shale oil, as the saying goes, is, quote, the fuel of the future and always will be. Flea states, quote, shale oil is like a mirage that retreats as it is approached. Shale oil will not replace oil. That was from Walter Youngquist. Now, here's what I write. A recent op-ed in the Washington Post had a good presidential grasp on the issue. That's a good thing because the author, Ken Salazar, at the time, U.S. Senator from Colorado. Here are some excerpts from his article entitled, Heedless Rush to Oil Shale. To hear Bush touting Western oil shale as the answer to $4 per gallon gasoline, as he did yesterday in the Rose Garden, you would think it was 1908 or 1920 or 1945 or 1974. Every couple of decades over the past century, the immense reserves of oily rock under Colorado and Utah reemerge as the great hope for our energy future. Bush and his fellow oil shale boosters claim that if only Western communities would stand aside, energy companies could begin extracting more than 500 billion barrels of recoverable oil, blah, 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 blah. Furthermore, energy companies are still years away, 2015 at earliest, from knowing whether this technology can effectively produce oil on a commercial scale. I needed some water. Catch this. It would take one ton of rock to produce enough fuel to last the average car 2 weeks. Hold that. Got to mine it. Have the energy to mine it, transport it, heat it to 4,500 degrees centigrade, 85, half the temperature of the sun, to get enough oil to run a car for 2 weeks. Now, I did a calculation, and this is what I wrote on this section. In the decidedly mixed bag policies and appointments of President Barack Obama, the appointment of Salazar as Secretary of the Interior is perhaps the highest point of awareness. Well, Barack Obama's turned out to be a total whore for anything that has to do with energy. He doesn't give a crap about the environment. But if it would take, this is what I wrote, one ton of rocks to power one car for 2 weeks, how many tons of rock would it take to power 270 million cars for 1 year? The answer, 7.02 trillion tons. Now add the hydrogen, and probably the equivalent of all the fresh water flowing in the Colorado River, and you might have something. But now, here's the point. Excuse me. The point is that if China and the United States are willing to contest, and it certainly looks like now Australia is like the big prize on the table, Japan also, obviously, but the insanity of both. In Beijing, they can't see the sun, yet the cranes are still building. The process of extracting the shale oil is extremely toxic, releases enormous amounts of hydrocarbons. So you're left with one of two choices. Neither one of them is very pleasant. That's where we're going to set up for our second Tom Waits song tonight. One choice is that these people actually believe that this could work, and they will pursue that, obviously further adding, kicking in the turbocharger for all of the positively reinforcing feedback cycles that are now just really starting to get their track shoes on and out of the gate, out of the starting blocks. The other is that they understand that this is not doable at all. That arithmetic and the logic behind what I wrote about shale oil is so obvious. Either way, I may have to play a Bob Dylan song on some show. Everything is broken. That's a Bob Dylan song. Either way, everything is nuts. Either way, everything is out of control, as has been everything else I have talked about tonight. You know, so I found out, you know, asking myself as I spent the day and actually a couple of days getting ready for this after dodging the repo guy, I was saying, what is the message that I can carry? And again, I didn't even know what it is now, until now, and it is articulating now. as I say it. I am walking through this by staying in the now. And I am walking through this, even the personal stuff that's hard in my life, by finding my heart willing and able to stay in love. It's not a great exercise. The effort that is required of me is to consciously, if you will, move my head aside and listen to my heart. Because if you listen to your head, you're going to be crazier than a shithouse rat. Did I say that? Yeah. Well, it's the internet. I can do that. Which I think is the perfect setup. And then after we play for this second Tom Waits song, we'll take the last few minutes with calls. The number is 1-888-874-4888 if you want to check in, share how crazy you're feeling. But I think we're on the same page, and we have to laugh to get through this, because your only other choice is to get crazy, which is why Tom Waits has given us a great song called Hell Broke Loose. Here it is. Enjoy.
Suicide bomb and hell broke loose. Hell broke loose. Big fucking ditches in the middle of the road. You pay $100 just for filling in the hole. Listen to the general every goddamn word. How many ways can you polish up a turd? And left, right, left, left, right. Responsible for making this mess. Got that sorry ass is able to a goddamn desk. And hell broke loose. Hell broke loose. Left, right, left. What did you do before the war? I was a chef. I was a chef. And what was your name? It was Jeff. Jeff. I lost my buddy and I wept. Come down from the mess. So I slept, slept. I had a good home, but I left, left. Pants to the wind for a joke. I pants right in with the dope. Glanced at her shin, she said nope. Left, right, left. Nimrod Bodfish, have you any wool? Get me another body bag, the body bag's full. And my face was scorched, scorched. I miss my home, I miss my porch, porch. Left, right, left. Can I go home in March, March? My stance was a chin full of soap. That rancid dinner with the Pope. And left, right, left. Kelly Prisola got his thumbs thrown off. Sergio's developing a real bad cough. Sergio's developing a real bad cough. And hell broke loose. Hell broke loose. Hell broke loose. Away and boom went Bowery. Oh, what the hell was it that the president said? Give them all a beautiful parade instead. And left, right, left. Well, I
Thank you, Tom Waits. I mean, you know, it all seems bearable after that, doesn't it? And that's what we have to remember about music and everything else, and all the things that we do to help us find our graceful or ungraceful way through this thing called the collapse of human industrial civilization, the awakening and birth of a new consciousness, the appearance of a new age of human existence, which is here whether you want it or not. There is a new age coming, because the old one is certainly mortally damn wounded. And I sounded like Waits myself. So that was good. And next week we'll do it, take another little journey down that with music and see where it takes us and how it helps us. We got a caller, David from Lake Tahoe. You there?
Hey, Michael. How are you, brother?
I'm hanging in there. How are you?
All right. Hey, I got a, you know, I just listened to the show, and I've called you before. I think you remember me.
Sure.
I told you I used to live in the San Luis Valley area.
Yeah, man, you're a regular.
Yeah, how are you, brother?
I'm all right.
Hey, listen, everybody out there listening to this transmission right now, think of the movie It's a Wonderful Life, and that guy George Bailey at the end of the movie when he was struggling, and all the people that he helped with his knowledge and his information and his kindness and his heart. Are you there, Mike?
Yeah, I'm still here. That was something else. Go ahead.
Okay, and think of that situation that that man was in, and look at this beautiful man, Michael Rupert, that has given us so much, and we cannot lose this guy. And, Mike, I want you to give your address out again, and if people can only throw you $5, $10, $20, everybody listening out there, help this man right now. We're all struggling. We're all going through this BS. It's not our fault, but this guy, we can't lose this guy. He's a treasure, and we have to help him. So I'll let you go, Mike, because I know you're running short, but give that address out again, and I want everybody out there to throw this guy a few bucks, whatever you can spare.
Thank you.
I'll see you, brother.
Thank you so much, man. The address is 27378 Red Cloud Avenue in Moffitt, M-O-F-F-A-T, Colorado, 81143. Don't hurt yourself. I mean, I appreciate this, and boy, the being likened to Jimmy Stewart in a Frank Capra movie was a wonderful feeling. It gave me goosebumps with that. Thank you, David. Alan from Honolulu, are you there?
Yep. I actually had called to congratulate you, but it doesn't sound like you're in that kind of mood.
I'm alive. I'm on a radio show, and I am feeling a whole lot of love. And I'm, you know, I'm aware that somehow we are making each other stronger in the wake of all this crappy news. So, you know, you can congratulate me on that. I'll take it.
Well, I was going to call and congratulate you because I, you know, I checked a bunch of news sites every day, and I was just shocked because I was on Drudge Report, and I saw an article, it was a mainstream news article talking about that eventually the population would decline. And up until that point, I had never seen an article posted on a mainstream news organization that admitted that eventually the population is going to go back down.
It's kind of hard to hide a lot of this stuff. Now, of course, we all knew that was going to come. I had an experience just a couple days ago. Some people on my Facebook pages got all excited because Chris Hedges has this new article saying, hey, it's the collapse of human industrial civilization. And they were going, woo-hoo, Chris Hedges said it. And I had to put up a comment. I go, you know, that's what I've been saying since 2000. But I guess now since Chris Hedges says it, maybe somebody will pay attention to it. I mean, there's such irony in that. But everybody's going to see this stuff soon. I think that's what's coming here in very short order. Is the crazy white people, the zombies, are all going to see this and start to have their psychotic breaks?
Yeah, I got a little bit of humor for you though. I was watching The Simpsons, and I don't know if somebody told you or whatever, but there was an episode where Homer decided to become a prepper.
No.
But he's watching this video about why to become a prepper, and one of the things that popped up in this, like, you know, mockumentary of these type of videos is peak oil. And so I saw it, and I just said to myself, that's an endgame tactic. That's an act of desperation to use The Simpsons for that sort of logic, you know, to try and show that.
I look at it a little bit different way, that some of the writers on The Simpsons were trying like hell to get a message out about peak oil, and they managed to slip it through.
I found it was interesting that it was on The Simpsons, and that, you know, it, basically by the end of the episode, they had said, the prepping is stupid, you don't need to do this, this is, you know, a stupid thing to do.
Just eat a donut, everything will be fine. I love it, man. Thank you so much for calling, Ella. I got one more caller I want to get to. Okay, aloha. Vinny from Wisconsin, are you there?
Hello, Mike.
Yeah.
Hello, Mike. Hi. I wanted to ask you, I was kind of doing something else, but I heard you say you ran into Tom Waits. Is that right?
Well, I didn't hurt him. No, we were passing each other in the Whole Foods with shopping carts going in the opposite direction, and we both kind of looked at each other and went, are you? And it was hilarious.
Yeah, that's just funny. Tom Waits is, he's my all-time favorite musician, and I just remember one time I was listening to him, and I was just thinking, I wonder if Tom Waits is a guy who gets it.
Oh,
and I had, you know, I had no idea.
Oh, he gets it. I mean, he lives in the same community. I mean, we used to shop at the same Whole Foods. You know, how perfect is that? And
right.
Dylan was up to visit Waits, and Waits is legendary up there. And he does get it because he bought a case of my video, Truth and Lies of 9/11, which was the video I recorded at Portland State in 2001. Mm-hmm. He bought a case back in 2003. And I think you can pretty much hear that he gets it, I think, in the lyrics and the words of his songs. But there is such compassion when he's going crazy like that, you know?
Yeah, I just wondered. I love his music, and, you know, he's so kind of sarcastic and gritty at the same time. And I just had wondered, what is this guy really getting at in his music? And I'm really glad to know that he's a guy who gets it. That's really inspiring.
Oh, yeah. And well, look at how important he was to me. I mean, you know, I was easily on the edge of getting sucked into a downward vortex. Oh, they're going to take my car. It's 24 miles to the closest store. And, you know, your head goes through that, but it was like the spirit popped him up in front of my nose twice this week. It was kind of like a message. But I listened to those two songs, and I feel great after those two songs.
Yeah,
I do. And so that's the power of music. And next week I'm going to be really honored to bring you the cut Inner Reach from New White Trash's new album. And like I say, I don't know if it's ever going to get released, but if you're a collector, you might want to listen to the show and record it. A song might have meaning in the ethers or in dimensions we don't know about.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
Thank you so much
for telling me about that, Mike. Yeah.
I appreciate that. So anyway, 2 minutes left. For some reason, it just popped into my head to share with you one of the greatest musical God shots, uplifting experiences that I had in my life. It was many, many years ago, and I was at a function for Thanksgiving. This was in the early 80s, early to mid 80s, and this guy sat down at a piano and started playing a song by Dan Hill called "And Sometimes When We Touch." It was a classic song, beautiful lyrics. "And Sometimes When We Touch, the honesty's too much, and I have to close my eyes and hide." And so this guy started playing it, and I walked over and I started singing it with him, and we did the whole song. And when he finished the song, he said, "Man, that was really good. Thank you very much." He got up and walked away. And I had a friend, Mike Finnegan, who's a well-known musician, who walked up to me and said, "You know who that was?" I said, "No." He goes, "That was Barry Mann. He wrote it. Barry Mann and Cynthia Wiles." So I guess my ending message for that, as I wind up the show on January 27th, is miracles can happen without our permission. And as dark as things look, as insane as they are, my heart is truly welcoming them, because I have this true understanding, and I think most of us who have walked this road together for a while do, that nothing is going to get better until this system comes crashing down. We have to, you know, it is good to be aware of what is going on. It is good to be aware of the situations that are unfolding in the world, because if we are bearing witness, we're also bearing compassion. And in order to give compassion, we have to see what's going on, and that's how we heal. So this is Michael Rupert, Tracker of Truth. I will be back with you next week on my 62nd birthday, February 3rd, with another episode of the Lifeboat Hour and a brand new song from New White Trash. Thanks for helping me through the hour. See you next week.